SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan, and time to talk some Washington Nationals as we are inching closer to opening day. And joining us right now from Masson Sports, and you also hear him on 106.7 The Fan, he's Byron Kerr with us here today. How you doing, Byron?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. Thanks for letting me talk to you.
No doubt. Good to talk to you. Let's start with the National center field situation as things shake out. Is this, Rick Ankiel right now going to be the guy, it looks like? What does that mean with Nigel Morgan's future?
Yeah, he's had a rough year and a half or so with the Nationals. A lot of stuff came out last year with the on-field incidents, running into catchers, and not throwing the ball into the infield when the ball was right behind him, and just some mental issues, some mental gaffes, and maybe some psychological stuff going on, and it really affected what he was doing at the plate. He was not getting on base enough. His on-base percentage was pretty low. He wasn't hitting very well. And you can tell at the top of the order that Jim Riggleman and Mike Rizzo have talked a lot about it. They just want to get something going at the top of the order without, a guy like Adam Dunn around anymore to push guys across.
I thought it was interesting, last year the Nationals hit a lot of home runs, but a lot of them were solo home runs because, like you said, the guys at the top of the order couldn't get on base. And that leads me to my next question, and I think we'll go back to Morgan, but the other thing that was really interesting that came out earlier this week is that Jason Wirth, the $126 million man, is going to hit second to start the year, which I thought was really interesting. I mean, what do you think that means for the team?
Yeah, I mean, they really were impressed with Jason, in spring training and what he did with the Phillies last year. Everybody talks about his home run hitting, but, as I was talking to Matt Gelb from Philadelphia Daily News about Jason, he says, a lot of those home runs that Jason hit last year, is because he's around Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and Raul Bounias, all those guys in the middle of the order for the Phillies. And, they don't have that with the Nationals. They also love the way Jason goes from first to third. A lot of people don't talk about his base running ability because they think of him as a home run hitter and a big guy. But he can really move too, Mike. I mean, he can advance runners. He can get things going. They just want to get some stuff moving in front of Ryan Zimmerman and Adam LaRoche.
We're here with Byron Kerr, MassinSports.com, with us here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada here on 106.7 The Fan. Well, yeah, Jason Wirth as the two-hitter, I don't know, because people thought maybe he would be the three-hitter, on this baseball team. But what do you think has been the biggest surprise that's come out of spring training, either positive or negative at this point for this ball club?
Well, I mean, I think that they're pretty impressed with the pitching that they've seen, especially the bullpen. A guy like Chad Godin, who's going to make the team, is going to be a long reliever. A lot of guys that I thought were going to make it, like Cole Kimball, who had a great Arizona, has never had a chance in the majors, is going to start in AAA. Look at all the guys they have in AAA that were playing for the team last year. A guy like Craig Stammen. Even they're going to have to make a decision on Colin Ballester, and he's pitching very well in spring training. Ross Detweiler, supposed to be one of the starters, he likely will start in AAA. So I think that the pitching is going to be improved. No, it's not going to knock anybody's socks off compared to the Cy Young award winning Philly staff or something like that, or even the Atlanta Braves staff. But this is really going to help them, that the pitching was so solid in spring training. Scott, you remember last year spring training, 0-11, 0-13, something ridiculous like that. I mean, keeping the scores down, they're allowing the defense to do a lot of good things behind them. And I think the defense is another bright spot in spring training.
Now, you talked about the bullpen. A lot of guys are pitching well. One guy who is not pitching as well, who I think, I would say has been a bit of a disappointment, is Drew Storen, who I think had that closer's role locked up, and now it's more of a battle. Is he starting to turn around, or is this his slump continuing?
No, I think they're going to make a little bit of adjustments in his mechanics a little bit. He's so young, and for him to have that on his shoulders, to have to be that guy, I think it's just a little bit too much for him. And although he is that go-getter guy, I always love talking about Drew Storen because I always think of him as a teammate of Gordon Hayward in high school basketball in Indiana. And, with Butler playing so well, you always think about those guys growing up together. And he's had that game type, game-changing type of mentality where he'll never say no. He'll always go out there, and he'll be ferocious on the mound. But I think that a guy like Sean Burnett will come up big. A guy like Tyler Clippard will come up big. And unfortunately, when they made that big trade to send Matt Capps off to Minnesota last year, they do not have a proven closer, a day-in, day-out guy. And I think there's no reason to panic right now. I think it's just early. The rest of the bullpen is so good that they'll be able to pick up the slack for Drew.
What do you make of the move to get it to Dallas Perez?
Oliver Perez.
I mean, Oliver Perez, excuse me. Yeah. Oliver Perez. Get my Perez brothers confused. Sorry.
I was hoping it was Oliver Perez.
Right. I don't think it matters if it's no Dallas or Oliver. I mean,
right.
Unfortunately, the Nationals are still in a situation where they have to kind of go for stuff like that, and people are kind of, you know, smirking at them. But heck, you know, if somehow Oliver Perez can turn things around, and he's really an insurance policy. He's really sure. That insurance policy of Qianming Wang's shoulder continues to not rehab. Although he's looked good, they don't think he'll be around until May, as I've talked to you about that before. He's really, you know, trying to find lightning in a bottle. You know, they have a lot of guys like that on the pitching staff, and that's where they have to begin. It doesn't really cost them anything because it's a minor league contract. He's already getting $12 million from the Mets. So they'll give him a shot, although, you know, I've heard from many people that his velocity is just has never returned to where it once was in 2007. You know, you hope that, you know, something happens with him. But God, I just really think they've got enough of the other guys to be able to start the year, you know, doing pretty well. Like I said, it's not going to be the all-star five starters, but without Steven Strasburg out there, you know, I think it's a good warm-up, if you will, for him as they fine-tune for 2012.
We're talking to Byron Kerr of Masson Sports about the Nationals as they begin their season next week, which is pretty amazing to me. You talked about Oliver Perez, and you mentioned something about these are the kinds of things they kind of have to do. And I think you're referring to the fact that this is their 11th Scott Boras client. You know, that you said is being mocked, but it's also there's some value to that. I mean, can you just talk about what the value of having all these Boras clients to, like, I guess the team's goodwill, you know, with agents?
Well, I mean, Mike, that's a great point to talk about how well the negotiations have gone with Boras and how much money the Learners are willing to spend to make this team good. I mean, they went over slot for guys that people don't really talk about, guys like Sammy Solis and A.J. Cole, who are going to be pitchers of the future. They got Bryce Harper signed. They got Steven Strasburg signed. You talk about all the other guys that are Boras clients, including Perez. They have a good avenue going with the Boras and Mike Rizzo. You know, Rizzo told me many times that he's dealt with Scott because of the California-Arizona connections over the years and had a really good rapport with him. And, you know, if people are there are other teams out there where the fans are going, hey, come on, please spend some money. And I will argue to the death about the Nationals not spending money. You talked, you know, about Jason Worth and that kind of money. And they're not only paying for Jason Worth, they have to pay over the price of most of these free agents to get some attention here to Washington and get these guys here. And they're also building the younger guys up, making sure they have Bryce Harper, making sure they have Steven Strasburg. Maybe they had to pay a little bit more than they could have or would have or should have, but darn it, they got these guys signed. And I think that's a big, big step for the Nationals to get them some credibility around Major League Baseball, not only for free agents, but, as you said, for the super agents themselves.
And you were it came out this week that they have the second highest operating income last year, so they have the money to spend. And like you said, now they're starting to actually spend it.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be important for them, you know, to kind of set the tone here. They've got Jason Worth locked up for a while. They're hoping that Bryce Harper will be able to come up and solidify that outfield. They've got Ryan Zimmerman. They're hoping Wilson Ramos will be that catcher of the future. Danny Espinosa and Ian Desmond. They've got a young infield, which I love, because they're energetic and they play good defense compared to, you know, the Christian Guzmans and Felipe Lopez's of the past that kind of looked to me like they were just going through the motions and, you know, almost just picking up paychecks because we're on a 100-loss team. And, you know, I like this youth they're getting in there. They're trying to get the outfield picked up. They're giving Rick Ankiel another shot. And, you know, that could be a story. You want to talk about a story. If that guy can turn it around, maybe for one or two more years with this team. They've got a great bench coming in with Jerry Harrison Jr., Matt Stairs, if he makes the team, you know, Roger Bernardina, Michael Morris in left field. So, you know, I like their chances to try to move out of fifth place this year. It's not, we're not going to go, you know, win the World Series, but compared to the 50-win season, 60-win seasons, you know, this could be something that they could really turn around in the next couple of years.
Well, and it all gets started, of course, this week against the Atlanta Braves on Thursday. Looking forward to seeing opening day of baseball and seeing the Nats, the new-look Nats, and as you say, see what it's all about. Obviously, a very tough division, including yep. One of the teams they're playing with, the Atlanta Braves, right out of the chute, but it should be definitely a more competitive situation. Yep. Well, Byron, appreciate it. We'll be reading your stuff on Masson Sports and seeing you on there as well with the games coming up and hearing you here on the station on 106.7. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott and Mike. Great to talk to you again.
All right, there he is, Byron Kerr with us here on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, we'll get into the Capitals as they are headed down the home stretch. And, well, Alex Ovechkin's not with them for a while, but how much longer? Adam Vingan joins us next from Kings of Leonsis and SB Nation DC here on 106.7 The Fan.